Hallelujah. I wanted to let everybody remind you that this week we have our discipleship group that meets here on Monday nights at 6:30. The two Zoom groups will be on Wednesday. Prayer this week will be on Friday night. We'll have worship and prayer in here on Friday night. And that'll start, I believe, I just check with me. I think we'll start at 6:30 or 7. Just stay tuned and we'll let you know. And there's some people that can't come to the... Now that we're doing discipleship during the week, we thought we would try to have some Friday nights of worship and prayer. So keep that in mind. We'll get the information out to you every week. We have to be flexible right now with what's going on, okay? All right? Praise God. I wanted to make a somewhat of an announcement, but I think it's very, very important. I'm not trying to act like it's not important. The Equality Act that was passed by the House this week has been sent to the Senate. And it's very unconstitutional and discriminatory.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say what it is.
Yeah.
And if you haven't searched it, you need to research it.
Yes.
And this has nothing to do with hating any people or putting anybody down who struggles in the area of transgender and things like that. But the problem is, it is encroaching upon the rights of people. The rights of families, churches, and what you believe.
Yeah.
Any type of an act or bill that tells me I can't believe what I believe is something we need to really pray that will get struck down, okay? Yeah. It'll be an attack on the family. It'll be an attack on businesses, on religious institutions, churches, Christian schools. I mean, it's going to, you know, we need to pray.
Yeah.
Amen? And I'm not stressed about it, except I do want you to know we don't need to be fooled by the title because it sounds so gracious. Equality and everybody, but it's not. It's not what it's about at all, okay? I'm sorry, it's got a demonic origin, and it will fund a lot of things. Even in churches, we would have to hire somebody who might come in and say they're an atheist or something or doesn't even believe in our values.
Yeah.
And don't even get me started on all the things where parental rights are completely going to be taken away.
Right.
A kid can literally make a decision he wants to transgender. And there can be puberty drugs assigned and stuff, and parents cannot say no. I mean, this kind of stuff is just way whacked out.
Yeah.
And so I'm just going to go on and say it. I'm going to move on from it. But it's expected to pass the Senate. I say expected, but I don't expect it to.
No,
in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And this isn't about partisan politics. Everybody relax. This is about right and wrong. Okay? Okay? And President Biden will most certainly sign it into law if it passes. So we need to pray for him. And we need to pray for the senators who, I don't know how quickly they'll vote. Does anybody know? Will they vote this week?
Within 2 weeks.
Okay. So we got a lot of time to be undergirding this in prayer in the name of Jesus. But I do want to ask you as an American citizen and as a Christian,
yes.
I want to ask you to make your voice heard.
Yes.
Now on the front table, there is a, and we'll make this to our family that's at home. On the front table, there is a pictures and the names and the contact information of our senators.
Yes.
Okay? And you need, by email or by voicemail, you need to make known that you do not agree with this.
Amen.
You might say, well, do I have a right to do that? It's a government for the people and by the people.
That's right. Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Y'all know me. I never stand up and get political.
Yeah.
This isn't really political. This is going to change the way we do life in the United States of America. Are you with me? And we've got to rise up, and I believe it's already. I got excited today because I found out that, you know, Hasbro had decided they were not going to call Mr. Potato Head Mr. Potato Head anymore.
That's right.
Seriously. But today they came out and said, we're going to leave it alone.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So I got a feeling some people are swaying, you know, and thinking, hold on a minute, this is crazy. And anyway, so something's got to happen. And it has nothing to do with hate or judgment of anybody else and what their struggles are and what they're... That's not what this is about. But it is about, we have to be careful because the enemy's trying to get in. This is like a Trojan horse.
That's right.
Yes.
Are you with me?
Yep.
It's a Trojan horse and we need to be careful. All right.
Right.
But also, the best thing we can do, you do need to make your voice heard, okay?
Yes.
Again, there's information on the table how to make that, how to do that. There's also a printout from the Heritage Foundation that Susan printed this morning for us. What is it? 11 myths... 11 minutes about the Equality Act. And you need to read it.
Yes.
You need to read it and spread the word. Spread the word to other people. I know people that are that passionately are against this that they're not even believers. But they know this is not right. And so something has to happen, okay? But let's pray this. Let's pray that full exposure of these things will be revealed.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And that even senators that may be normally highly liberal would still go, no, this is taking the thing way too far. Yeah. Are you with me?
Yeah.
And so let's pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Y'all with me? Everybody cool? Nobody mad?
No.
Okay, nobody got up and left, so that's good. Hallelujah. Hopefully nobody turned me off online. Hallelujah. Go with me to Revelation 19. Hallelujah. I got a word for you this morning, and I want to bring it to you, and I believe the Lord wants to do something really special. He's already been doing something special in our hearts all morning. Amen?
Yes.
Revelation 19, beginning with verse number 10. Now, this verse is John is standing before the angel who's bringing forth these revelations to him in the book of Revelation. And at this point, John decides he's going to fall down and worship the angel. And how many of you know, you don't worship angels.
No.
All right? And so when somebody told me, well, how do you know if you maybe might be getting a visitation from an angel of light? I said, if that angel lets you worship him, you know it's not God, right? All right? Look what it says here. Then I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, do not do that, for I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren. Now notice this, who hold the testimony of Jesus. Make note of that. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The angels of the kingdom, think about that. They co-labor with us who hold on to the testimony of Jesus. They can't work with those who don't have the testimony of Jesus in their mouth. But that's who they co-labor with. Isn't that cool? But also we need to know this. The essence of all prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. It's always been about Jesus. Ephesians tells us that everything is summed up in Christ Jesus. Everything. Are you with me? So it's very important we understand that. Every prophetic word will find its fulfillment in Jesus. Even the promises, as many of them as they are fulfilled in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Hallelujah. And I believe we're fast approaching the climax of the ages anyway. Don't you? The end of the age and the day of the Lord is certainly nearer to us than any generation that has ever lived. And the very goal of human history is the summing up of all things in Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Now consider this. We who believe in Christ, I'm looking around the room, I'm sure the ladies that came that were invited today, you all love the Lord. We all love the Lord. I doubt you're online watching this far into the worship service if you didn't love the Lord. But we who believe in Christ, we are in Christ.
Amen.
And Christ is in us.
Yes.
So think about it. As everything is summed up in Him, the church has a major role in this. Are you with me?
Yes.
But like never before, we need to hold to the full testimony of Jesus. Amen? For His Word is unchanging. He is unchanging. And He's the same with us today. So we need to believe it, we need to speak it, and we need to walk in it. Hallelujah. I want to stir you up today by way of reminder on some things, because I really feel like the Lord directed me with this toward the end of the week, and one of those words that God just kind of gave me right on Thursday or Friday. But I want you to look at a verse with me that you know well. I quote it to you all the time, but we'll look at it this morning. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For as many as are the promises of God in Him, in Jesus, they are what? Yes. Therefore, also through Him is our what? Amen. To the glory of God through us. Say that with me. To the glory of God through us. Notice that. Every promise and every prophetic word finds its fulfillment in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our amen brings us into agreement with His yes.
That's right.
Amen? Amen is saying, you all know, so be it.
Yeah.
Or like Mary said, be it unto me according to your... She had to say that. Did you know that? She had to say something like that to get in agreement with the word of the Lord that came to her from the angel.
Yeah.
And so it's very important for us to understand that. The testimony of Jesus. Now I want to share something with you for the next 5 or 6 minutes that I said, Lord, I don't even know how to tell people what it is, but I feel like it's things that the Lord has been downloading into my heart, into our prophetic flow here as a church. And I believe what I want to get ready to share is like a prophetic teaching, but I want you to respond accordingly. And I want you to not only believe it and not only just to kind of mm-hmm or whatever, but I want you to amen it. Now, I'm not looking, you know, I'm Southern and I'm used to amens. So I came out to laid back Arizona and it's kind of like, can I get an amen, you know? But in the South, they shout you down and wave hankies at you, you know. And I want to encourage you today to agree with the Word of God. Will you do that?
Yes, amen.
I'm not going to give you all the verses for the things I'm going to bring to you, but I felt like the Lord gave me a flow to it. So if you will allow me, I am going to, I know you will, right? I have the microphone. But I want to just release this to you, but I want you to receive it. Are you ready?
Yeah.
He chose us in Christ. Yeah. Amen? Before the foundations of the world, He has predestined us in adoption as sons. Hallelujah. And all of this is according to the kind intention of His will to the praise of His glory. The increase of His government and of His peace shall never come to an end. Think about that. In Christ, we are to be fruitful and we are to multiply. Hallelujah. The Almighty God is our husband. So don't tell me you're not fruitful, because He's very fruitful. Are you with me? And we are no longer barren, for our sons and daughters are coming forth in the name of Jesus. No matter what season of life we're in, we'll be fruitful.
Amen.
You're never too old and you're never too young to be fruitful in the Lord. Hallelujah. For your pathway grows brighter and brighter until the noonday glory. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Even in old age, we will flourish in the courts of our God. And all the young people said yes. Those who had remained faithful and who believed God, remember in Joshua and Caleb's generation, they too went into the promised land with that next generation. Are you with me? They were able to go in their latter years. And can I tell you, their strength and their vitality was because they lived their lives until the day they went to be with the Lord. They lived their lives for the purposes of God. And they had a supernatural strength and vitality and a renewing of their youthfulness. All you young people, hang in there. I got words for you too. We are the children of Abraham. Are you with me?
Yeah.
He is the father of our faith, is He not?
Yes.
And even if we've had seasons of barrenness, I mean, a lot of times the church has been, especially in America, the church has been kind of a dry place.
Yeah.
Not a lot of fruitfulness. But I'm telling you, even in seasons of barrenness, our spiritual Isaacs are coming forth in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So think about this. Even in a time of slavery, they couldn't keep Israel from multiplying.
That's right.
The children of Israel who were enslaved in Egypt, they couldn't keep them from multiplying. Hallelujah. Say multiplication.
Multiplication.
The enemy has attempted to lie to us, telling us we're not gifted enough, we're not talented enough. You've always been barren and you will always be barren. You've always been that way. You're not going to change. You can't teach an old dog a new trick.
He's a liar.
Are you with me? And you'll always be barren. But the enemy is a liar. Amen? And our God, our Maker, again, is our husband. And He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And even as I shared with you last week, in places of exile, we will multiply and increase and will no longer decrease. Say no longer decrease.
No longer decrease.
And even in a time of famine, remember this, Isaac sowed. A famine would just be like a severe economic downturn. You don't have to even be in, today we can't relate that well for the most of us with agricultural terms about downturn. But a famine was an economic depression.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
And even in that time, Isaac sowed and he reaped 100-fold the same year.
Amen.
In the year of famine, he reaped the fold. Whether we're in exile, whether we're in troubled times or we're in an economic downturn, in good times or bad, no matter who's president, his unshakable kingdom will not end, nor will it be shaken. All right? I don't like what I paid for gas yesterday. Because I drive a big Ford Expedition. Okay? And I have no batteries in my car. The only one's in my phone, right? But the good news of the kingdom will be declared as a witness to all creation. Amen?
Amen.
To all nations. And then, say then,
amen,
the end shall come. Hallelujah. We still have an assignment and nothing has changed. And you will be my witnesses. You will be my witness. For even during the time of God's judgments upon Egypt and Pharaoh, you remember? The children of Israel lived in Egypt in a place called Goshen. And in that place of Goshen, they had supernatural refuge and protection.
Yeah. Yeah.
With all the plagues being poured out on the nation of Israel, it did not touch them or affect them. And as you and I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, we find refuge. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. In our intimacy with the Lord, we find that will be your Goshen. No matter what comes upon this nation or the nations of the earth. Say amen.
Amen.
Like the children of Israel, when great judgment comes, we will partake of our Passover lamb, Jesus, and His word, and we will apply His blood to our hearts and our lives and our families and our homes, and the judgments will pass us over.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. In times of trouble and suffering and darkness, I am with you, says the Lord. And there is always a greater glory to be revealed in and through you on the other side of your present time of trouble. Hallelujah. It's not worthy to be compared with what God is going to do.
That's right.
So stay in the saddle and stay engaged with God. Hallelujah. In all these things, you will overwhelmingly conquer. Now, how we walk and live in this and how we do this will determine whether or not the light that emits from our lives and our churches and ministries will draw the nations or not. Let's be honest. They're not going to be drawn to our religion. If that was the case, they would already be drawn. We got enough of that. But it's the reality of the kingdom of God that's going to cause them. There's nowhere else to go but to the light. And that's the way it's going to be. It will be well with you. In whatever season we're in, it will be well with you. You will have supernatural inner peace and joy through everything. And my favor, says the Lord, will be upon you. And you will actually have favor with man. Yes. Hallelujah. So I'm not really freaking out about things in the government, because I know God's hand of favor is upon me. Amen. In this ministry. And our favor also gives us favor with man. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Say amen to that. Come on now. Amen. Now, as the day of the Lord draws near, we've got to, again, I'm not trying to be redundant, we must hold fast to the testimony of Jesus, okay? None of these things can be achieved without us having intimacy with Him. Nothing can take part. Because what did He say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Amen? To know Him, and as you know, I know you've been taught this over and over through me and other people over the years, to know Him is an intimacy beyond knowing about Him. Guys, we have settled for it in our Western way of thinking, for knowing about something, but God wants it to be deep in the heart. He wants us to know. Remember, the word that is used in the Hebrew is the same word that is used when He said, Adam knew Eve and she conceived.
That's right.
Well, I say to you, as you know God, your God, you will conceive.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Don't get mad at me. He uses the spiritual metaphor. Amen. That He is our husband. Hallelujah. And we will be fruitful. Hallelujah. We're that weird bride that's also an army. Right? So we not only draw close to find refuge. That's important. Because He is our refuge. You agree?
Yes.
But we also draw close to become intimate with Him. Hallelujah. Now, I am concerned about the things going on, though, that are being proposed, for example, in our nation, even just recently. I'm deeply concerned. Okay? A bill got passed for COVID relief that only 9% of the bill goes toward COVID relief. This kind of stuff is just being, you know, and I'm just telling you, we need to really continue to pray and believe God. Amen. And we are told to intercede and pray for our government and all who are in authority. Amen.
Yeah.
We're told to pray for them without wrath and without dissension. And we need to pray. The scripture clearly tells us to do this. But can I tell you, hear my heart when I say this, because I'm not trying to act like I'm not concerned. I wouldn't have brought it up, but it cannot consume me. Because you know what will happen if it consumes me? It'll drive a wedge between my intimacy with God.
That's right. That's right.
Instead of seeking first His presence and His intimacy and His face, I'm more concerned about Him getting something done in the election or whatever.
Yeah.
And we have to be careful that this doesn't take us off point about what we place as first priority, the kingdom of God and His righteousness.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Right.
I'm praying for our nation. I hope you are. Especially, we need to pray, how about this, for more and more anointed believers.
Yeah.
Now, some of you young folks, to rise up and get into government in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. But ultimately, all of us are called to be ambassadors of a higher kingdom.
That's right.
Amen. A higher realm of authority, the kingdom of God. This is priority one for the church. Amen. Now, I do believe, I want to say this because people have asked me about how I feel about prophetically. I believe America is a unique nation. Not because of the history of America, that's unique enough, but it's the prophetic purpose to be a light. Amen? To bring forth liberty and freedom.
Right.
To propagate the gospel to the nations of the earth. See, that is the part of America that thrills my heart. And that's the part that will be awakened.
Yes.
Amen? In the great awakening. Hallelujah. Any nation that blesses and shows favor to the church and to Israel is blessed.
That's right.
When you pull back from that favor to Israel and to the church, which would happen with this act if it passes, when it doesn't pass. That's when you start to mess with the blessing. People ask me, I don't believe God can still bless America. Well, have you never read the Bible? I can just find 10 righteous ones. Remember that?
Yeah.
As I'm telling you, it's about the blessing. But beloved, when it's all said and done, let me hear, please get this. When it's all said and done, all nations are going to come and worship Him. And the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our God and King. Everything is going to come under His dominion.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
The whole world ain't going to be Americans.
No.
Are you with me? Hallelujah. Everybody, you're either mad at me or really happy right now. Here's what I hear the Lord saying. We must be determined to do life in the kingdom. In the kingdom of God. For the kingdom, Jesus said, is within you. And when we gather together, He's in the midst of us with His glorious kingdom. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And greater is He who is in me than he who is in this world. Hallelujah. So what I want to, I don't know about you, but I want to be a man of unwavering allegiance to my Lord.
Amen.
Y'all with me?
Yes.
Come what may.
That's right.
I don't want to have a wavering, waffling allegiance. I want a full-on unwavering allegiance to my Lord.
Yes.
And respectfully, can I say today, nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. The church needs a mighty revival.
Amen.
Hello? And America needs a spiritual awakening.
That's right.
Bottom line, I guess you could have just said that. We could have prayed and gone home. But that's what we need. Like never before, we must walk in the spirit of faith.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Because remember, like Abraham, our father, the father of our faith, we too must not waver in unbelief. Remember? It said he did not waver in unbelief, but instead, with respect, I love this, with respect for the promise of God, he grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Until he came to a place the Bible calls fully assured. And I like that. We're not always there on every point in what we're believing for, but that's where God wants you to get to.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Abraham was holding to a promise for years and years. And then right at the end, right when it was getting ready to happen, he's nearly 100 and Sarah's nearly 90. Would you tell me that does not look impossible?
Yeah.
Hello? And on top of that, when they were young, they never had kids together. Okay, so we're not talking about, you know, they were very, very fruitful and then God said, oh, there's one more, in the, you know, one more coming down the pike. No, they had never had a child together. But with God, all things are possible and everything is possible to he who believes it. See, that he who believes it has to be in the equation also. So Isaiah, what does Isaiah say? Shout for joy, O barren one. Shout for joy in your barrenness. And you will break forth with joyful shouting, for your spiritual sons and daughters are coming forth in the mighty name of Jesus. Psalm 40 says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God, and many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord.
Amen.
Because you and I have that song that we release. But you know what? You can't shout a shout and you can't sing a song if you're not in faith. I mean, you can shout and you can sing and not be in faith. But the effective song and the effective shout is done in faith. Does that make sense?
Yes,
does it make sense? I'm not trying to be like speak to you on both sides of the coin here.
Yeah.
I exhort you with a song of praise on your lips. Begin to contend for every promise.
Yes.
Begin to contend. Notice what I said with the song of praise on your lips.
Yes.
Begin to contend in thanksgiving. The most honoring thing you and I can do is praise Him and believe Him.
Yes.
It is dishonoring if you don't believe Him and you won't praise Him.
That's
right.
Come on.
That's it.
It's not either or.
That's right.
The most honoring thing you and I can do for our Lord is praise Him and believe Him.
Amen.
Believe Him and praise Him. Praise whatever order you want to take it. But that's what we're supposed to. What does it say? Rejoice in the Lord. Always and again I say rejoice. And then He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Make your praises, make your requests known to God. A lot of people make their requests known to God with no thanksgiving, murmuring and complaining, and we wonder why our prayers fall flat. Go with me to Romans 10. I know you know the verse well, but let's look at it this morning. I just want to stir you up today by way of reminder. Romans 10:10. For with the heart, everybody say the heart, a person believes resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth, he confesses resulting in salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. Hallelujah. If you'll believe this way, you will not be disappointed. When we believe God with all of our heart, the result is righteousness.
Amen.
Amen? You're brought into a right standing. You're justified. You're able to stand blameless before your Creator. Aren't you glad for righteousness?
Amen.
But when we confess His Lordship with our mouth, and let me tell you something. When you, it's not only to say Jesus is Lord, that's good, or to honor Him as Lord, but you know what's even more honoring? Is when I'm in a situation and I draw from the Lord's Word and I confess that Word. That's the most honoring thing I can do to my Lord. And what's the result? Salvation.
Salvation.
And as we know, salvation is forgiveness, and it's new life, and it's eternal life, and it's freedom, and it's healing, and it's restoration,
Amen.
And it's prosperity.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, me and Marvin are really excited about that. salvation part. How about the rest of you? Hold on. He's calling us to repent and return to the walk of faith, to apply our faith with endurance so that we can receive the precious and magnificent promises of God. Peter stood up and preached and he said, repent and return, get this, so that your sins may be wiped away and so times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. How many love the refreshing of the presence of the Lord? How many love being forgiven of your sins? Hallelujah. But that we need both of those things. And while we're to repent, we also need to know how to receive the refreshing.
That's right.
Hallelujah. It says in 2 Corinthians 4 that having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak. Are you with me? By the way, I don't think I gave that one to you. It's 2 Corinthians 4:13. The word there for spirit of faith, I was thinking about it. Sometimes we think of faith, we don't really know what to call it or how to identify it. But it's like the wind, because the word for spirit there is pneuma, the wind. It's like a wind of faith. And the Lord's been speaking to me this week that He's releasing a wind. Actually, the word refreshing means to be like resuscitated, to receive breath back to life. One translation that I read said it means to catch the wind. How many of you, if the wind of God is blowing, we need to be good at catching it?
That's right.
Yeah. Amen? And I don't say if, I say when the wind of God is blowing, and it is blowing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't want to miss the wind of what God wants to do. We used to sing a song in the early days of the charismatic movement, "The Wind is Blowing Again." You remember that one?
Yeah.
Well, just qualified how old I am. But yeah. Yeah. We know that we're to be continually filled with the Spirit of God. And can I tell you something? I believe a second wind is coming.
Amen.
And I use that as a term, and I want to qualify that I have never run anywhere in my life unless I was in trouble or fleeing a fire or something. But they say runners, like long distance runners, they'll get to that place where they plateau in their strength and they feel like they've hit a wall.
Yeah.
But then they get a second wind. And it's like they feel like they can go another 20 miles or whatever, kilometers or whatever it is, you know. Yeah, are y'all with me? Virgil and I were laughing this morning. He hurt his foot and he said he was running to get a donut when he pulled something. I had to bust you out, Virgil. Now, before you think I'm being weird here, I'm gonna drag my Lord into this. But there's a wind blowing, and you were born again for it. Let me show you. By the way, this is in red in your Bible, John chapter 3, verse number 5. Jesus said, "Truly, truly," everybody say, "Truly, truly." If you're a King James person, it's "verily, verily." I say to you, unless one is born of what? Water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. But look at the next verse. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Are you born of the Spirit?
Yes.
Then there's a wind blowing. Hallelujah. And we're to be led by that wind. Have you ever followed some people that are really following the Spirit? It seems like they're all over the place, but they're actually right in tune with what God's doing. Go with me with those words in mind. Go with me to the prophet Isaiah 59 and verse 19. Isaiah 59, verse number 19. So they will fear the name of the Lord from the west and His glory from the rising of the sun. For He will come like a what? A rushing stream which the wind of the Lord drives. Get that. The wind of the Lord drives this. A Redeemer will come to Zion and to those who turn from transgression in Jacob, declares the Lord. Now get this. As for me, this is my covenant with them, says the Lord. My Spirit, which is upon you. Notice, the Spirit wind upon you, right? And my words, which I have put in your mouth, shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your offspring, nor from the mouth of your offspring's offspring, says the Lord, from now and
forever.
Come on, forever. Say forever.
Forever.
Keep reading. Arise and shine, for has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness will cover the earth, and deep darkness the peoples, but the Lord will rise upon you, and His glory will appear upon you. Nations, everybody say nations, will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes round about and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come from afar, and your daughters will be carried in their arms. Hallelujah! A spiritual son, the harvest is coming. When you and I are filled afresh with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God is in our mouths. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's, you know, I believe it's a supernatural draw that'll be on the church. Yes. And on the people. It'll be a supernatural draw of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I've been in some glorious services, but there's a glory that's going to draw. I've been in some times in moves of God where it did draw people. You couldn't keep people away from the door. I'll never forget when the first time I visited the Brownsville Revival. We drove down with a bunch of us from Memphis to, where was it? Mobile, Alabama. Right? The Brownsville Revival, wasn't that in Mobile?
No.
Florida, wasn't it?
No, it was
Florida.
Pensacola.
Pensacola. Well, they're very close together. In the Florida Panhandle, they're very close together. That's where I got, I think I stayed in a hotel in Mobile. Anyway, we went down there in the middle of the afternoon. People were lined up all around the building and down the street to get into that night's meeting.
Wow.
In the hot, humid southern sun in the summertime.
Wow.
And I just want to tell you, there's a draw that God wants to place upon us. It's His glory. Amen?
Yeah.
It's not my gift of preaching or our songwriting ability or our buildings or anything. It's about the glory of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's going to happen. I believe it with all my heart.
Yes,
Jesus said, I love that language that Isaiah uses there of the mighty river and the rushing stream being driven by the wind of God, the Spirit of God. And I believe, what did Jesus say? That we would have what? Rivers of living water flowing out of our innermost being. Hallelujah. Or the old King James there says belly, which means I've got a lot of rivers flowing. I got a virtual torrent, a gusher. Hallelujah. Bill, be quiet. I have to bust you out about how your wife took you to the gym and you can't walk today. But anyway, yeah. You want me to tell that story? Well, it just got told to everybody in the network. Zephaniah said this. We won't turn there. But Zephaniah, because I've another verse I've preached to you many times. He said, the Lord said, I am going to search Jerusalem with lamps. And I will punish the men. And that means I will lay charge to them of those who are settled in complacency. And then other translations say those who are stagnant in spirit. And here's the telltale sign. They say in their hearts, the Lord will not do good or evil. In other words, nothing's happening.
Right.
Now, we've all been tempted to say that. We may not say it out loud,
yeah,
but we feel it sometimes, don't we? And it causes you just to become settled and being complacent.
Yeah.
Everybody been there? I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been stuck in that. How many know it's a trap?
It's a trap
to keep us to not believe anything's going to happen. In other words, basically nothing to see here.
Yeah. That's it.
And we need to be careful. We're either going to catch the wind or we're going to be stagnant.
That's right.
One way or the other. But you know what? We can repent and we can decide that we're not going to be complacent. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that's good.
Yes.
When you repent, but you've also got to receive the refreshing that comes from that repentance. Amen. So that you can stay and truly enter into what you're believing for. The kingdom, let me say this. People get nervous about it, but Jesus said very clearly, my kingdom is not of this realm. So the kingdom we're talking about, guys, it's spiritual. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's the ministry of the Holy Spirit to our spirit, flowing in and out of our spirit. And we have to understand that and not be nervous about the language that's used here. The Lord is trying to help us to understand that this is what He's called us to walk in. Now, we know at Pentecost, the Spirit of the Lord came, right?
Yeah.
Amen? Mightily. It came mightily. And if you'll remember, if you read the account, He first came and filled the room where they were seated, and then they were all filled and began to prophesy and speak with tongues and all that. And so we see the manifestations that took place from that. And can I tell you, from that point on, they were qualified to go there for.
Right.
It's good that you want to go there for, but you better get refreshed.
That's right.
Amen. You better get anointed. Amen. You better get filled with something of God, or you're going to just work really hard.
That's right.
How many of you have ever done ministry where you just work really hard? You just work hard. But it's when you're refreshed by God. So Peter stands up that day, as we know well. In fact, let's look at it. In Acts 2:17, he said, it shall be, everybody say shall be, in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams, Bill. And even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I guess I could say Marina will see visions and drink or something like that. And Bill, I will in those days, say in those days, pour forth of my spirit and they shall what? Prophesy. I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood. What's the next word? Say it out loud. Before. Before. Amen. The great and glorious day of the Lord shall come, and it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Hallelujah. This is the atmosphere of the last days.
Yes.
It began 2,000 years ago. And it's still the last days. And nothing changes till Jesus comes. Amen? And it's for the salvation of the lost, but it's also for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, which brings about the salvation of the lost. Say amen.
Amen.
Throughout the last days, the Spirit is being poured forth. It didn't mean it just got poured out and that's it. Well, you should have been there. No. He's constantly pouring forth on all flesh. But those that don't repent and return can't get it. You can't get that refreshing. And that's what I believe God's trying to say to us. To repent and return. Contend for a fresh spirit of faith to pour it out on you. Because I believe God's bringing a second wind and a third wind and a fourth wind. Amen? Well, even better, I believe He's bringing a now wind. And we need to have some now faith. Hallelujah. I shared with you last week from a passage, and I wasn't able to quote the verse, so I put it in the notes this week. We're not going to turn there, but if you want to write it down, it's 1 Samuel 10:26. And Saul... It says that when he's going to his house at Gibeah, that these valiant or brave, depending on your translation, men who followed him and went with him, they were men whose hearts God had touched. Remember, I told you about that. And that word in the Hebrew for touch is a very forceful touch from the Spirit of God to the heart of man. It's not just a little tap. It's very forceful. It's very life-changing. It's an encounter.
Amen.
It's an encounter with the... How many know we need those encounters? Amen? We need the encounters with the presence of God. The enemy has lied to many in the body of Christ that they've missed their opportunity. Or because of maybe sin or failure or a mistake that we no longer qualify. Anybody heard that lie?
Oh, yeah.
Please raise your hands. Thank you. We've all been there before, right?
Yes.
But can I tell you, it's the grace of God and the blood of Jesus that qualifies you.
There you go.
Amen? Hallelujah. Amen. If we'll repent and return, we can receive that. Even when we're unfaithful, God is faithful. But what does it say? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance, right? Literally meaning they're irrevocable. God will never revoke what He put upon your life, no matter what you do, no matter how dumb you are. He's committed to you. Hallelujah. I included myself in that. Well, I said we. Did I? Many of those men and women of faith, stay with me now. I'm trying to approach the runway and come in for a landing. But many of the men and women in that great cloud of witnesses we read about in Hebrews 11, the great hall of fame of faith, if they were judged by man's judgmental standard, they would have been disqualified. Think about it. Think about it. But for the grace of God, amen? Remember what Romans tells us, that even our unbelief and rebellion against God's calling does not nullify His faithfulness. Hallelujah. Think about this. Noah was not disqualified. And Noah got so drunk, he took his clothes off.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm not going to ask for a show of hands who's done that lately. Abraham wasn't disqualified when he lied about his wife being his sister. Yeah. Or how about this? He was going to help God with the promise and lay with his wife's handmaiden to have a baby and try to come out. But it didn't disqualify him. You're all seeing this.
Yeah.
Moses murdered a man.
But
wasn't disqualified from being God's spokesman to deliver Egypt out of, deliver Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Rahab was a prostitute. David committed adultery and then arranged for Uriah to be on the front line of the battle and be killed. Hello? Thomas so doubted Jesus and so struggled he had to see Him and touch Him to believe. Peter denied Him 3 times. And Paul severely persecuted the church. Are you with me, guys?
Yeah.
If you've made a mistake and if you failed, you're in real good company.
Yeah.
Amen? None of these in their unfaithfulness were disqualified from receiving the grace of God and repenting and returning to the purposes of God in their lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By the grace of God, we have been given new life.
Yes.
Let's talk about that because we were talking about that discipleship, this new life we've been given. How many of you feel like there's times you've squandered it?
Yeah.
Hello? We've squandered the new. Well, maybe on occasions or in certain situations. But the Lord says what? Repent and return to me. I'll cleanse you of your sin and I'll refresh and I'll restore you. The most beautiful example, of course, we know is the prodigal son. Right? He's in the pig pen of life. This absolutely, just, you know, he comes to his senses. Hallelujah. I mean, man, there's been many times I've come to my senses. Thank goodness. I know some of y'all are questioning that now, but... But you remember what he said? Even before he got to his father, he'd already rehearsed that he would say to his father, I am not worthy to be your son. Just let me be a hired hand. Remember that?
Yeah.
I would rather work for you than live in the pig pen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay? See, that's the enemy working it. He said, okay, you can come back, but you're going to have to be highly religious.
Yeah.
You seeing this?
Yeah.
Because he is afraid of those who will take on the sonship that has been
that's
given
right.
to them.
That's right.
The father, of course, would have none of that. Amen? And my favorite part of the story, when the prodigal began to make his way home, it said that the father saw him from afar. Which tells me what? The father was looking all along for his return. Are y'all with me? He didn't make a quick call from the pig pen. Hey, Dad, I'm coming home. No. But he was looking. I don't think they had cell phones back then, did they, Marvin? But in a moment of grace and mercy, and I want some of y'all need to hear, I believe this is what was happening prophetically this morning. Do you remember what the father, the first thing he did? Don't jump to the robe part. What did he do? He kissed him. He showed affection and love to him. How many know that was worth it all right there, right? His father embraced him as a son and kissed him. Are y'all with me? And then, of course, in a moment of grace and mercy, he had the robe taken off and he put a robe back on him, a clean robe, amen, which represents the robe of righteousness and right standing and the ring, the family ring and the shoes. And there's so much prophetic there. But what I want to share with you, it was all, and what happened was, he didn't come back to work for Daddy. He came back to be a son again. Amen.
Amen.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Now, we know that can relate to when you come to God initially. But you know, there's a lot of Christians that need to come back to their sonship in Christ. Hallelujah. And ladies, relax. This is not about gender.
Yeah.
Okay? I want to share a couple more insights with you really quick, as quickly as I can do, regarding what I believe God's saying to the remnant of this hour. And God gave me this literally yesterday evening. The first one is this. Moses, when he would go into the tent, he would enter into, the Bible said he would enter into the Spirit in a cloud. And the Lord would speak with him face to face. Everybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
And so he would go into this place. Now, Joshua at the time was just a young man. Many believe maybe even a teenager. This young man, he was Moses. He was always with Moses at his side, serving him. It's interesting, in Exodus, we're not going to turn there, but if you want to make note of it, Exodus 33:11, it says that afterward, when Moses would return to the camp, his servant Joshua would not depart from the tent. How many of you have ever read that before?
Yeah.
So Moses has been in God's presence face to face. Good time, right?
Yeah.
Love you, Lord. Obviously, Moses used of God. But Joshua just wanted to stay a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Are you with me? I believe he wanted what Moses had.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I also believe he understood, you know what? I'm willing to linger longer.
Yeah.
And I hear the Lord just saying prophetically, if you'll receive this, I hear the Lord just saying, just start to push the boundaries out on your
Amen.
Waiting on the Lord.
Yes.
Linger a little longer.
Yep.
Let God, how many of you know, a lot of times that's when something will break. Amen?
Right.
But if we try to cookie cutter this thing, even about our prayer life and even in the secret place, we need to have that ability to say, Lord, I just want to linger here with you. Amen? You receive that? Because I believe. Because remember, David, the man after God's own heart, what did he say? When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I will seek.
Yes.
But see, David, earlier in that psalm, had already made the declaration, here's the one thing that I seek and I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life and behold the beauty of the Lord. I mean, that was his heart.
Yeah.
So it wasn't hard for God to pull his heart in. See, God's wanting to do that. I believe that. And I believe we're coming to a time like never before that we're going to have to respond to God in this way. Do y'all receive that?
Yeah.
The second thing is this. Do you remember when David and his mighty men came home to Ziklag where they all lived and the city was burning on fire? It had been completely ravaged by the enemy and all their wives and children were taken captive. Can you imagine? You come back from out in your battles for the Lord and you come back and the enemy got in the back door. Talk about a Trojan horse. Are you with me? And after a time of crying and anguish before the Lord, David and his men, the Bible says they wept until they had no strength left in them. Have you ever responded like that over something until you just completely wrung yourself out? Are there any humans in the room? Okay. Hope I'm not preaching to androids. You know. But interestingly, here's the danger of that if you don't learn how to turn it around. And I can say amen to Rick Bennett because I've been doing the same thing. You'll start to enter into judgmentalism and blame and condemnation. The very men that fought with David had nothing to do with what happened. They, in their losing all of their strength, decided to take up stones and kill David. Now they didn't. You know what David did? He slew them all. No. David said, bring me my linen ephod. And he got alone with God. And the Bible says he strengthened himself in the Lord. Amen? And in that strengthening, how many know he needed to be strengthened first? But in that strengthening, he also got a strategy. And he went forth and he recovered all. Yeah. Hallelujah. But see, there's an order.
That's right.
We want the refreshing, but we have to repent. And we need the refreshing before we go out and recover all. But I hear the Lord saying, in the worst of times, God is intended for you to recover all. We were singing this morning, he makes all things new.
That's right. Yeah.
Glory be to God. Yeah. It's times of difficulty and great trouble. See, I believe God wants us to get us to that place where we can say all is well, like the Shunammite woman.
Amen.
All is well. Probably. You know, the prophet probably even thought, all is well. Something ain't right. Sure enough, you know, her boy was laying on the bed dead, remember?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, what I hear in my heart, and I've been saying this to people and I've been saying it to myself, God's got this.
Right. Yeah.
He's got it.
Yep.
Amen? I think I texted that to you several times
yeah.
over these past few weeks, Irene, right?
Yeah.
God's got this!
Yes.
He ain't off the throne!
Yeah.
Back in my Arizona body. Okay. Hey, man. We live in a brutal cancel culture today. Amen. Would you believe? Nobody wants to show mercy to anybody else that they disagree with. They don't even want to hear what anybody else really has to say. And I won't, because it's depressing to preach a message on that. But can I tell you, Christians have been doing that for years. And we're our worst. We're worse on ourselves. Well, there's no way God could use me after what I did. Well, then you don't believe in the grace of God.
That's right.
Hello? Not really.
That's right.
Not if you really believe that. Are y'all with me?
Yeah.
There is no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus.
Right.
Now, it doesn't say there's no conviction.
Right.
If you're filled with the Holy Spirit, there is conviction, but there is no condemnation. Say amen.
Amen.
Don't turn there, but Romans 3:3 says this. Get this. If some did not believe, their unbelief will not nullify the faithfulness of God, will it? May it never be. Rather, let God be found true, though every man be found a liar.
Yeah.
Wow, that's strong.
That's strong.
Yeah. But it isn't going to nullify God. So what we have to decide, if God is good and God is faithful, and great is His faithfulness, then we have to respond to that.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. You are called and you are chosen by God. And He's faithful who has called you this, and He will bring it to pass. So I encourage you, receive a fresh spirit of faith. Get His word in your mouth. Amen. And receive the Spirit's anointing upon you. His wind will come on you.
Amen.
Amen. How many know what I'm talking about? His glory will come on
yes.
you. If you'll just respond to God and get in the position to receive it.
That's right.
So I feel like the Lord's just saying again and again, repent and return. Position yourself
yes.
for some life-changing touches
yes.
from God. Amen. Some encounters with God. Linger a little longer if you must.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. For what the Lord's going to do in this hour. You guys know this. You know it before I even start it. What He's going to do in this hour, it will not be done by our might or our power.
That's right.
Amen? Or our wisdom or our strength or our gifting or our calling.
Yeah.
It's only done. And all of those things God gave you. But it'll only be done by my Spirit.
Yep.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Saith the Lord.
Amen.
Saith the Lord.
Yeah.
So here's how I want us to respond today. Guys, could you come up? I want to read something to you out of Romans 8. I kept hearing the Lord this morning, just this very morning, saying, tell them to come to the Father. Tell them to come to the Father. And I said, well Lord, I understand that and I know that, I think. And but how many of you know The Romans says we've received the spirit of adoption, right?
Yes.
Stay with me now. By which we cry out what?
Abba, Father.
Abba, Father. Amen? And the Spirit, what testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Think about that. The Spirit, Holy Spirit, testifies with your human spirit that you're God's. That's the spirit of adoption. Here's what it says in the Passion. Listen to this now. God has released His sonship into our hearts. The spirit of full acceptance, enfolding us into the family of God. Think about that. We are not orphaned. Amen? We are not orphaned. And I feel like today, before we go out of here to lunch and with our families and all of that, let's just return and receive the spirit of adoption afresh and anew to be restored. Because again, His heart is always to be faithful to what He promised. Amen? His mercy, think about it, His love is steadfast, it's unending. And His mercies, what, are new? And I even believe they're new on a Sunday morning. Amen? And they never come to an end. Great is His faithfulness. Two things about being a fresh infilling. Number one, you have to open your heart. But you have to open your mouth. The Bible says, be filled with the Spirit, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord. Anybody with me? There's just something about opening your heart and opening your mouth. I just want to lead you in a very simple prayer. I'm not going to give you a long drawn out, but I would like you just to pray with me. But then when I finish, I just want you to begin to just declare, Abba, Father. You can stand up, you can kneel down, you can come down front, whatever you want to do, just to declare, Abba, Father. And then would you wait upon Him? Wait upon Him. Just for the spirit of adoption to come. I like it better, the spirit of sonship. And I hear the Lord saying right now, would you go on and lift your hands to heaven? Lift your face toward heaven. Lift your countenance. I'm going to switch to the handheld for no feedback. Just lift up your countenance to heaven. Let's just go ahead and say, Abba, Father. Beloved Father. Lord Jesus, we just thank You for Your love today. We just thank You for Your love today. And we come before You right now. We thank You for the grace by which we're saved. We thank You for forgiveness. And we set our hearts today to repent and return to everything You have for us. Lord, I know the men and women in this room and most listening online, they're already saved. But Lord, there's times of refreshing we need. And I pray right now, Lord, we would come back to You in a renewed way. All morning You've been singing over us about Your love. And we've come today to receive it right now. That all fear and anxiety be driven out in the name of Jesus. Completely driven out. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Just say this with me. Lord, I receive Your grace and Your mercy upon my life and my heart. I am Yours. I return fully to all You have for me. You are my priority. You are first place. It's no longer I who live. Say that. It's no longer I who live. But You, Lord Jesus, live in and through me. By Your Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Abba, Father. Go ahead, just respond to Him. Just respond to Him right now. Abba, Father.